Episode 127.
That would have been a game changer, and if it wasn't for the ASCCA specifically, but all of our other association partners in that battle, auto repair in California would look a lot different right now, and within a short amount of time would look a lot different across the country.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and I'm with Dave Cusa from Auto Trend Diagnostics right here on episode 127. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. I hope you've had a chance to download the short ebook I wrote on the 8 biggest success strategies from the first 100 episodes. Well, I gleaned the wisdom shared by my guests and found a recurring story in these 8 strategies and compiled them in a very easy read. There is a simple way to get it. Go on over to the website and look for the download button on the homepage. It may not be up there forever, so jump on it now. I've just launched Facebook Live. Keep an eye out on Facebook, Twitter, or even LinkedIn on Friday afternoons announcing the live event. Then join me for the weekly update. Now meet Dave Cusa, president of Auto Trend Diagnostics in San Francisco, California. Dave assumed ownership of the company in 2001, 2 years after he began working at the shop. He is an industry veteran of more than 20 years, and he holds 2 degrees in automotive technology from De Anza College in Cupertino. Dave is the incoming president of ASCCA, Automotive Service Councils of California, and we talk about some of the legislative challenges that have faced the California service professional. Now, here's why you should listen. Find out how much reliance Dave places on building customer relations and hometown value in a city of 2.5 million people. Dave is very certain that his great internet reviews come from his strategy on good customer communications, and he explains. And among many other great stories, learn why and how he offers a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. And if you're looking for great insight or advice on the need for business training, Dave will explain to you his biggest learning curve. You know the drill. Listen to learn just one thing. Now, here we go. A warm welcome to Dave Cusa of Auto Trend Diagnostics from Campbell, California. Now, that's the Bay Area, right, Dave?
Yeah, good morning, Carm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's South Bay, right near San Jose.
Well, hey, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I am, thanks.
Cool. Well, hey, so how's the business climate down there in the Bay Area?
Yeah, pretty good. Bay Area is recovering quite well from the recession. You know, job growth is great. Traffic is as bad as always. So
okay.
People are back to work.
Back to work. And, you know, obviously Silicon Valley is nearby. And did it ever have a recession issue?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got hit really hard in the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. Yeah, it was big.
So what made you want to be or dip your toe into the world of being an entrepreneur?
Well, I think it's similar to a lot of people's stories out there that, you know, working hard. And I mean, for me, amongst my group of friends, even in high school, I knew I wanted to be a auto mechanic then, you know, auto technician now. My vision was always to be a shop owner. So I worked towards that early on. And, you know, to be a business owner was my direction. And that, I guess, was a little strange for a lot of people because even now, so many people are not sure what direction they're going, which is fine. But I was one of those early on people that knew what direction I was going.
We change as leaders and business people over the years. So as an entrepreneur and a leader, what do you need more of today to get you to be better at what you do?
Information. You know, the access to information is huge, but there is so much information out there. Sorting through what is relevant is a challenge, and to combat the misinformation, I think that happens not only with in the shop environment with the technicians and service advisors, but with vehicle owners, customers, and clients. So, you know, everybody already knows what's wrong with their car when they bring it in because they read about it on the internet. So, you know, having those skills to teach my team and get my team to correct those misconceptions, I think that's a big challenge right now, really big challenge.
So communication skills, I think, is what you're
absolutely
trying to say. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How you ease someone down from their almighty position of I know what's wrong into the real world story.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And, I hear that story a lot. People will come in, they're coming from another shop or coming from a dealer and don't understand what's happening, or something was done to their car and then it wasn't right. And they're upset. And it really, they're thinking they got taken advantage of or maybe ripped off. But I think a lot of time it's just that. It's just the inability for people to take the time to communicate well with the vehicle owner, the customer, the client.
And talk about, if I was a customer and I walked away with a great experience like that, even though I thought I knew what was wrong, and then I found out what really, based on you guys' expertise and your diagnostic ability, I've got to love your company by taking me through that process.
And we hear that a lot. We get tons of 5-star reviews, with Yelp on my website, Google+, all those things, where we get that feedback a lot. Rarely do we have an issue in my shop with an upset person, and when we do, we solve it. Right? It's the right thing to do.
So, what do you love to do inside the business?
I really, my favorite part is working with the clients. I have a great team. I have an excellent service advisor, two great technicians that we get it done right. And, my position with the clients now is the hug and the kiss and the thanks and just having some interaction outside of the what's wrong with your car and how much it costs, or why it costs so much to fix it, and here's what we have to do. Just getting to know them on a relationship basis. And I think that's another big part of our industry, especially the small businesses, with just a handful of people, family-owned businesses, is building that relationship so that you have multiple generations of people that bring their car in. We have lots of people now that we've been around 15 years, so we get the kids are starting to drive, and we're getting the kids' cars, and hopefully soon it'll be the grandkids' cars, and just keep that generational level growing.
I love what you're saying. Can you create customers for life, Dave?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
How do you do that?
It's a long haul, and the relationship building, the communication, building that trust when a mistake happens, because we're not perfect. Everybody makes mistakes every now and again. Handling it, solving it, owning it. Not trying to get out of something.
Yeah.
My warranty in our shop is 3-year, 36,000-mile parts and labor.
Wow.
We're doing it. We got to do it right. Otherwise, we're gonna get killed with that labor. With that warranty. But all of those things really go hand in hand to build that relationship and customer for life.
Are you getting that warranty from your supplier, or are you adding to that?
Oh, we add to it. Yeah. Sometimes it depends on the manufacturer or the supplier, but typically no. The best we usually get would be a 224.
Okay.
But back to that relationship part of it, I think the other end of it, just talking about this with somebody the other day, that I like to try and build relationships with clients and expect that that's how we'll do business. So on the flip side of that is having a relationship with suppliers. So in that rare occasion, when you do need something special, you need some extra help, they can take care of it. They can do it because you have a relationship.
Is it a cost center for you? Has it really?
Absolutely.
It isn't. Okay.
Yeah. No.
So take me inside the business. What are you doing recently to grow your business?
We do a number of things, mostly internet based. We do some direct mail now, which has been hit and miss. But the internet, not only for an acquisition standpoint, by having a great company taking care of our website and SEO for us, but also the follow-up with existing clients, the thank you emails, the reminders for the next service, all of those things. And then just the personal touch. We also have a newsletter that gets mailed to our existing clients, the follow-up phone calls, just that personal touch, I think is a lot of times what's missing right now, because everything is so easy to do internet based and email based that if we don't have that little touch every now and again with just a phone call, I think that changes things for the worse.
I hear a lot about phone calls. I hear some guys don't even bother to do them. So what's your routine, your policy on calling back customers?
As far as a follow-up phone call, once the vehicle is delivered, within a day or two, 24, 48 hours, just the simple phone call. And most of the time you're going to get the voicemail, but just a way to say thanks. I appreciate it. Glad we met your expectations and, looking forward to helping you again. Certainly no sales call, nothing like that. Just another thank you.
Would you ever text someone and do the same thing?
Yes, but we don't right now. We could, I suppose, but I think that it removes it. That next personal touch, right?
Okay.
Because that could easily be, I shouldn't say easily, but that could be a automated type thing as well.
The millennials want to be text, don't they?
Yes. And which is great. Yeah.
I know. Isn't it amazing? Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Digital vehicle inspections, are you using it inside?
Yes.
And
for sure.
Whose platform?
We are with Bolton, because we use Mitchell.
And integrated into the system, paperless, are you at that highest level?
Not paperless yet. Trying to be, and once our state regulations change, I will be virtually paperless. Depending on, again, what the customer or the client wants. If they want a piece of paper and they want a phone call, that's how we'll do it. If they want to do it all digitally and with no paper, then that's how we'll do it.
So I met you out at dinner. My wife knew someone who knew your wife. We introduce each other, and you say, "Hey, I'm Dave from Auto Trend Diagnostics." And I say, "Hey, what's really unique about your business? There's shops everywhere."
And that is a really hard question to answer, and I struggle with it, Carm, and I think everybody does. And I think, again, a multi-level answer. And it's the same answer, the communication, the great warranty, customer service, the follow-up, just all of these, the hometown, family-owned, we're in the middle of the Bay Area, 2.5 million people around us. So to have a hometown touch is kind of strange, but that's what we really strive for is that personal touch to make, to remove the ambiguity from what's happening.
Dave, let's go back to the supplier issue, as you were just talking about. But is there anything that your primary supplier could do to help you right now improve your own business?
Yes, and it would be some of the warranty stuff. And I guess it's really not the supplier, more as the manufacturers.
Oh.
Labor warranty. We all battle that. We're going to provide warranty to our customer, and they warranty their part, but how many times do you have a part that's, 2 or 3 hours worth of time to replace that when it fails, you get to do it and not get compensated for it? So I think a big change from the supply chain side would be a better parts warranty labor process. And I get why they don't do it. You know, this is something that has been going on for a long time. And with ASA and ASCCA, we've approached it in from both associations. And there's just the manufacturers claim, probably rightly so, is that a lot of what they get back really isn't bad. You know, it's not a bad part. It's misdiagnosed or it's broken by the technician, those kind of things. So they're less apt to provide some of those labor warranties when they're seeing a lot of problems in our end of the supply chain as well.
I did a podcast with Bill Hanvey, who is now the chairman of the Auto Care Association, back when he was with AASA. And they were talking about parts warranties, big stuff, important stuff. And you're right. How about SKU availability, parts quality, service? You good with all that?
Yeah, I mean, the service in our area is great from my main suppliers. You know, delivery is very very quick. You know, they do the hotshot delivery type stuff. So, I mean, if we wait a half hour, it's a long time.
That's great.
Availability is great too. I mean, you know, it was such a population density here that in such a wide variety of cars that pretty much everything's available. We rarely have to wait. If we do, you know, even from the dealer, you know, maybe next day. So there's not a lot on that end that's a real big problem. We get some great training through our suppliers, which is huge. And I think that's another area of our industry that is so important, that you know, our technicians and even, you know, us as business owners remain at the cutting edge of what is going on and keep up with that training.
It's a perfect segue to talk about training. I love it. Thank you very much for that. What are your techs getting per year in training? Do you have a requirement, a minimum, or are you just looking for great seminars and being sure they attend?
Yeah, the second part. It's hard to require, right? Because it's typically for us, it's after hours. It's very difficult for a small shop to pay a lot of overtime to technicians to go to training. So we do use a bonus type program, and part of their hourly rate or what they get paid is a component that goes along with training. So as long as they do get the training, then that particular amount of money per hour stays with them. If the training doesn't keep up, then that drops off. So and it's, you know, it's not for us, it's not a lot. We our main supplier has five classes during the year, and then as things become available, we'll take them. So it's usually once a month, maybe once every other month, where we're doing some sort of technical training.
Who's your supplier?
Winchester Auto Parts is our local supplier.
Excellent.
So things are just changing now. But Phil Fournier is the trainer that they're currently using. He's a local here in California. Does a great job. Really bright guy.
Is there such a thing as a technician shortage?
I believe so. Yeah. It is. It's getting hard to find, well, maybe not a technician shortage, but a qualified, ready-to-go technician shortage. We have, again, population density is huge. We have three local, two community colleges, and then another training facility not far from us. So lots of techs getting trained in our area, but once they get their training, they're not necessarily coming into the industry, at least not as technicians. You know, they're finding other areas of the industry or, you know, moving on to something different once they have some good technical training under their belt, not necessarily coming in to fix cars.
Social media, important to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have Facebook. We use our Facebook page. Twitter to a certain extent. I don't think there's a whole lot going on in my shop that people are waiting on the edge of their seat to see what pops up next on the feed. But we definitely use our Facebook page, and it's good. You know, people look at it, they see it. It's just another area that keeps you in front of your customers and clients.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified Gurus On Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing their Garage Rewards loyalty program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. Let's talk about your industry involvement. And you are on board to be the president of ASCCA. And for people around the world that wouldn't know what that acronym means, Automotive Service Councils of California.
Correct. Yeah, I'll be the state president next year.
You'll be the state president. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
A lot of big duties coming up for you.
Yeah, it's a pretty big position. So, ASCCA is the largest shop owners association in California. So we're across the state. We have chapters across the state. As president, of course, state duties with the board of directors and such. But visiting chapters, just making sure that message stays out there. Becoming the face of the organization for the next year is a lot going on.
We all know associations are really focused and run point on key legislative issues.
Absolutely.
And you're from California.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us understand that your legislator is like a factory. They just churn out laws all the time. And if they're good or they're bad, they just keep churning out laws. And the rest of the country says, hey, look what California just did.
There's a lot of that.
It's
yeah.
amazing. So share with us a key legislative battle that the association was involved in and helped win or lose.
Well, we definitely don't have victories all the time, but the most recent one, we called it the BMW key bill, meaning their keys. So with security information being hard to get a hold of for obvious reasons, there was a certain exemption in California for access to key codes. And it was the law sunsetted. And this was, I think, 2 years ago. And BMW was fighting the sunset. They wanted an exemption. They didn't want to have to give up that information to the aftermarket for key programming because they felt that they were the only ones that were truly qualified to do this. And this was an issue for us, not only specifically because of having a number of members and a number of shops in California that are BMW specialists that need access to that information, but our bigger concern was that if this was approved and passed in the law, then everybody else, all the other manufacturers, I mean, we're going to say, hey, what about us? We have the same type of thing and we want that same exemption. Well, all of a sudden, and why would they say no at that point, right? If it's good for BMW, it's good for everybody else. So the biggest concern that we were having was all of a sudden this access to this information was going to be to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's still a certain battle with Mercedes on a lot of security components. So we were fortunate. And so this was a strange coalition amongst many different associations that don't usually play well together, but we did in this case. And this bill actually went all the way to the governor's desk before we got it killed, before he vetoed it. So, that would have been a game changer. And if it wasn't for the ASCCA specifically, but all of our other association partners in that battle, auto repair in California would look a lot different right now, and within a short amount of time would look a lot different across the country on what was going to happen. So, and then we had another issue. This was a number of years back, the California Air Resources Board, which is the agency responsible for regulating emissions, specifically atmosphere emissions in California, CARB, C-A-R-B.
Yeah, we in the rest of the world know CARB, yes.
Oh, I imagine you do, yeah. So they decided by regulation that they were going to try and institute a 20-year, 200,000-mile emission warranty on new vehicles sold in California. So again, if that, and we battled that hard, another strange coalition, because even the manufacturers and dealers didn't want this one because they understand they wouldn't be able to conform and they couldn't fix all those cars for free for 20 years.
Right.
So we did change that. We got rid of that, defeated that. So that never came, fortunately came to fruition, because you talk about a game changer there, right? I mean, how different would it look if you can't fix, check engine lights or anything else that the CARB decides is emission related, maybe even down to tires, because, you know, as we all know, worn tires or low pressure tires affect emissions. So, you're going to change light bulbs the rest of your life, maybe. That'd be about it. So, two big battles that that were very hard fought and that we did achieve victory in.
Well, we thank you, because so many things that happen in California. I live in New York State, and you hear, they're doing it in California. Let's write a law here. So thank you for helping fight that. That was great. As an entrepreneur, Dave, you sit down, and I know you look at a crystal ball a lot. You know, where's the business going? Where's the industry going? Autonomous cars, technology, telematics. Give me what's going on in your mind when you think of that.
It's scary. The autonomous car, the telematics, these are beyond the political aspects of it. These are areas that we're going to have to figure out how to fix these cars. Along with that is the alternative vehicle cars. Electric cars now are big. Right next to my shop, there's a gas station that just put in a hydrogen fuel charging station. So we're going to, they think fuel cell vehicles are going to be on the horizon, and they are. So, they're prepared for it. So this is another area where we're going to have to adapt to this technology. One of my favorite sayings is adapt or become obsolete.
Sure.
So that crystal ball part of it is when hybrids first were becoming more mainstream, and of course, being California in the Bay Area specifically, we were the first to see them. I was seeking out, training. Let's figure out how we're going to fix these cars, because they're going to need to be fixed. And we've had these hurdles in the past. Electronic ignition was going in the mid 70s was going to be the end of auto repair, and then fuel injection, and then engine controls. All of these boogeymen were going to kill us, and here we are. So just keeping ahead, or at least keeping up with that technology and tooling for it, is going to be, I think, the key to the future on every car, because there's only going to be more technology. It's never going to be less.
You become the president of ASCCA. You get up in front of your group. You say, hey, thanks for your confidence in me. I want to talk to you guys about the shop of the future. What are you going to say?
I think it's just keeping up with that technology, doing what we can. I mean, we're starting to look at, we have a scholarship program through the association, so that people that are wanting to become involved in the industry have an avenue for that if they can't afford the training. So we want to focus on the scholarship and the technician training, and we want to focus on keeping up with that technology and remaining active in our industry. I think that becomes part of an issue with a lot of shop owners, is a lack of time to be active in the industry, and it's a detriment to them and the industry. Because there's a lot of great people out there with a lot of big brains in their heads that if they could become just a little bit more active in the industry, I think that would make a lot of changes for us in the positive direction. So we're always focusing on membership. We're always trying to reach out to members to become part of the association.
So the message is, get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be much. I mean, it's going to sound a little bit crass, but as the president of the association, I need your money, right? Our association needs your money as a shop owner to continue these battles in our for legislative issues, to continue growing the scholarship program to bring people into our industry. It's so important to get that message out, that we exist.
Okay, so it's legislative, but isn't the networking piece like way up there in importance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That in my mind, the most important thing we do is the legislative issues. And the second most important is the networking aspects. Absolutely. I am very good at talking with other people, and, you know, we talk about ideas, and everybody in our association as part of our industry, very giving people. You know, we'll have conversations at our chapter meeting or at our state meeting, you know, outside of our regular meetings, you know, going to dinner and, hey, here's what we're doing. Hey, here's what we're doing and how that worked for you. And my friend Larry is, you know, he's very, very fond of the fact that he has everything he's done well, he has adapted from somebody else. So learning from my peers that's so important. And you don't get that if you're not an association, if you're not part of some sort of networking group, because then you're an island in the sea. And a lot of times you feel that way, but it doesn't have to be the case. You know, there's lots of people out there that want to help.
Hey, Dave, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
To get some training as a business manager, business owner. I think my story is similar to most people. You know, good technician, came up through the industry. You know, got in, became a business owner, and went, wow, this is way different than being a technician. So
surprise.
So I was fortunate to have some other shop owners nearby, and we were talking, and they say, you got to come to this ASCCA meeting. So that was the first piece of best advice. And then once I was at the meeting, exposed to some, again, these very bright, very experienced, very giving people that guided me to get training to learn how to run my business. And I, you know, even today I have a business coach, and that would be another area of our industry that I think is so important, that to have a business coach, someone that is not in your business, right, that can look at your business analytically and help make decisions not based on emotion.
The biggest thing you learned from your coach?
Wow, so many. You know, keeping track of expenses is huge. I think probably the most important stuff in my leadership training was just that, leadership. Or a business training was leadership. You know, learning how to be a pretty good leader and helping people together that with the team become better all the way around.
Looking back, what are you the proudest of?
I think the fact that we've been business-wise, that we've been growing. You know, a lot of people, especially, you know, when the recession hit, there was a lot of stagnation, a lot of people going out of business, and we managed to, you know, it was incremental, but we managed to grow during those times. So I think from a business standpoint, that's probably my thing I'm most proudest of.
Do you have an escape?
I ride my bike like a madman.
How many miles on the weekend?
It'll depend, but anywhere from, you know, on a Saturday morning, I have a group we ride with. We ride early Saturday mornings, and we'll go anywhere from, you know, 35, 40 miles up to maybe 75 or 90 miles. So it's, we're in the valley, so we have lots of hills. So we have a lot of climbing around us, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, hey, I enjoyed our talk, man. Dave Kusa of Auto Trend Diagnostics, Campbell, California, in the Bay Area. Hey, Dave, give us some words to live by.
Adapt or become obsolete. You know, keep up with the changing times.
Got it. How simple.
Yep.
Thanks for being on, man.
Thanks, Carm. Really appreciate it.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks so much for listening. Find additional show notes on Dave Kusa from Auto Trend Diagnostics, additional bio notes, and a link to his company. Find them exclusively on the show's episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio. That's also the place where you can watch Facebook Live reruns, subscribe to Be an Insider, and review special episode quotes from many of my guests. You are an important reason I bring you these interviews, so you can profit from the wisdom found in each episode. So help spread the word. Your help is needed to unite our industry, and I am so grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.